Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
So, but hey, we have an amazing, we're really excited, we have an awesome speaker this morning. She's not a guest speaker, she's actually a daughter of this house. That's she's right. Been here for years, and she has been doing amazing things for the Lord. When I first met her, I knew, man, this woman sold out for revival, sold out for Jesus, and is going to do amazing things for the Lord. Can we welcome up the gift in the house today, Emily Groves, as she comes up to bring us a word. It's going to be so awesome. Awesome. And just stretch out a hand. Lord, we thank you for Emily. We thank you for the word that she's going to bring today. God, we just say our hearts are open, our hearts are ready, and we're expectant to learn about you and your heart through her. Speak to us, God. We love you, Lord. Amen. Come on. Way to go. Take it away.
Thank you, guys. I'm so excited. I was telling them last service, it was like when we talk about Sundays in Crux, we call it big church. So I was like, I'm preaching in big church. Like, I'm a big kid. So it's just funny, like little things. Anyways, I'm super excited, super honored. Pastor Daniel and Teresa asked me to speak a couple months ago, knew that they were going to be on vacation and asked if I would be willing to speak. So I'm super excited, super thankful for them for the opportunity. But I'm going to pray. We're going to get started. So God, I just thank you so much for what you want to do today. God, I thank you that you would just turn our hearts towards you. God, that we would see that you are so worth our entire lives. You're worth giving it all. So God, we thank you so much. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just root in us just a focus of fixing our eyes on you and running at you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so like Pastor Taylor was saying, I serve in the Crux. I've been coming to Summit for about 8 years, and I've been serving in the Crux for about five or six, something like that. And I've been on four mission trips, all of them to South Africa and Mozambique. It is a huge place on my heart. And most of you know I'm really, really passionate about missions. And something that the Lord has really taught me and that I've really learned in new ways on every trip is when I go through something that is challenging or pushing me outside of my box, I'm always like, God, is this worth it? Is this worth what I'm going through right now? And every time he responds, yes. And every time I learn and see, absolutely, it is absolutely worth everything to serve God with the whole heart and to be challenged. There was this one time on my first mission trip, actually, with Pastor Annie and Pastor Taylor and Pastor Daniel and Teresa and Rob Corona, Sean Boyana. We went to Mozambique. And obviously, so first of all, it's really far to get there. So you fly to Europe and then you fly down to South Africa. So it's like over 22 hours of flying, not to mention layovers and driving to LAX. Then you get in a car and you drive for like 2.5 days to get to where you need to be. Then if you want to go anywhere else from there, you drive again for the majority of your day. So it is a lot of travel. And in this situation, we drove all that time. And then a couple days later, we get on a boat and we take a boat out to an island about 2 hours or so off the coast. Well, it was 2 hours to get there in our little boat with a bunch of people piled into the boat to go to the island. And we had the opportunity just to preach the gospel, share the Jesus film that had been working in the church there, and just saw really awesome fruit. A lot of people got saved and delivered and really just encountered the Lord. And on our way to go home, we did church the next morning, and all of a sudden this guy comes up and whispers in Luke Ryder's ear, the missionary there, and he's like, well, guys, so the tide has gone out and our boat is on dry ground and the tide is way out, and so if we want to go home, we got to push the boat. And the reality is we got to go home, so we're going to push the boat. So we all go out there, half the village comes out, and we are finding logs and anything that could possibly go underneath the front. And then they have this word in Sichuan and in some of the languages in Mozambique that's called Ofamba, which is like, we are going. So there's this song that they sing like Ofamba and then some other words. I don't want to butcher it, so I'm not going to sing it. And so we'd be like, Ofamba, and we'd go, Ofamba, and we'd push the boat and like hope that it would move a little bit further. And we did this for hours until we pushed it about a football field length to where it was in the water enough to where we could push it and get on the boat and go home. And it was quite the adventure. And it was difficult. Like, it's hot. You're sitting in the sun, you know, like Rob had his shirt pulled, didn't want to get sunburned, you know. But it was like, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, was it worth like getting stuck in this boat and pushing for hours in order for these people to hear about Jesus and encounter the Lord? Absolutely, yes. Like, and now it makes for a really great story. I think we've all used this story a couple times, you know, and there's been moments where you're challenged, you're pushed to your limit, and you have to say, God, is it worth it to continue pushing past these limits for you? And the thing is some of you are like, well, I don't want to ever go on a mission trip. That's okay. How many of you know the Lord pushes your limits here, right? There's still moments every day where we have the opportunity to push past our discomfort and push past these things for the sake of the gospel. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about it being worth the cost and being worth saying, okay, God, whatever it is you're calling me to do for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of your kingdom, I am willing to do it. I am willing to say yes. Yes, whatever that means. And I think that sometimes we get almost, it's like a little scary, right? When we talk about, okay, I'm going to go share the gospel with this person. I don't know about you, but I'm always worried that I'm going to like say the wrong thing or that I don't have enough theology to preach the gospel. And I'm like, is that right? Was that okay to say? I don't know. And I think we get in our heads about it a little bit sometimes, but the Bible actually talks about that God's word never returns void. So I want to say that in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says, the rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with the word, with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will always accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And Matthew 24, 35 also says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. God's word is more than just what we have to say, right? We are the vessel in which God's word is coming through. Our responsibility is not to get there, yes. Our responsibility is not to get the result. Our responsibility is to respond when God calls us to respond. If God is saying, hey, I want you to come speak to this person, my responsibility isn't necessarily to get them to believe everything that I'm saying. My responsibility is to respond and to speak from the place that I know that God's telling me to speak. Does that make sense? We're not, like, it is important to go for the yes, absolutely. It is important to say, hey, are you willing to give your life to the Lord? It's important to speak those specific things, but ultimately we cannot make that decision for them. We cannot make people say yes. We cannot make people believe. We need to just respond to what God is calling us to. And I want to talk a little bit more about that with Peter. And I love Peter. I think that Peter is like, praise God for Peter, because he made so many different mistakes and said so many different things that it makes me feel like it's okay to do the same thing. And he walked with Jesus. Like, I think Peter is like one of the most, like, he must have, every time I think that he would probably, the Lord was probably just like, oh, Peter. Like, anyways, so I want to talk about him getting out of the boat. This is a really awesome story. So Matthew 14, 24 to 34. I'm going to kind of break it up in pieces. But it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. Oh, and leading up to that, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He had just fed everybody with the fish and the loaves. And then he told his disciples, get in the boat and go across to our next destination. And I'm going to like pray and spend some time with the Lord, and then I'll meet you over there. So it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. I'm going to pause right there because it doesn't say Peter sat and thought and contemplated his actions and then followed him. It just said he just went. He just went out. Jesus said, yes, come. And so Peter said, okay. And he got out of the boat and walked out of the boat. I think that like he didn't think, he didn't like evaluate. He was just like, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. He's calling me. I'm going to go. And he gets out and he gets on the water. And then it says in verse 30, but when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? I feel like we can all relate to this because what happens is we hear God say yes and we go without responding. I absolutely do that. I'm like, God said yes, I'm going to go. I'm not going to think about the consequences or what's happening and I'm just going to go. And then what happened is Peter took his eyes off Jesus. It says that he saw the strong wind and waves and he was terrified and began to sink. I think that suddenly he's walking on the water towards Jesus and he goes, oh my gosh, I'm walking on the water. And he starts to get in his head and he starts to go, okay, I'm walking on water. That's impossible. There's thunder and lightning. There's a storm. There's giant waves. What is going on? Oh my gosh. And he begins to define what is possible for him through his circumstances. He's beginning to say, okay, these are the circumstances around me. This is impossible. So he begins to sink. But I think he took his eyes off of Jesus. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, I believe that if Peter had just kept looking at him and didn't evaluate his circumstances, he would have walked all the way out to Jesus on the water. But Peter looked around and said, okay, this is absolutely impossible. I can't do this. So he began to sink. And what's amazing, little interlude, is that Jesus met him exactly where he was at in the middle of those circumstances. Like, Jesus was like, dude, come on. Like, you're fine. You know, like, why didn't you just have some more faith and see that I'm right here? And he picks him right back up. And that happens. Like, in our circumstances, when we forget to keep our eyes on Jesus, he comes on. He's like, it's okay. Come here. Like, I got you. It's okay. Like, let's pick up and let's keep going. But the thing is, if we keep our eyes on Jesus through our circumstances, through the storm, it isn't necessarily going to go away. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to dissolve the storm. But it does mean that it's possible to walk all the way through it because all we're doing is focusing on him, right? If we take our eyes off of him in the middle of a hard time, in the middle of a difficult season, in the middle of making big decisions for our lives, we're not going to be able to continue through it because we're evaluating the circumstances based on us, based on what I am capable of. Peter realized, I am not capable of walking on the water. It is physically impossible for this to happen. But with Jesus, it's not. And even though it might be difficult, it was a challenge, obviously. I'd like to think he maybe stumbled a little bit, you know? I think that's probably what I would have done. Get your footing on there a little bit. He made it. Like he showed that it was possible. But evaluating the circumstance and focusing, taking the eyes off Jesus is what did not allow him to continue. And I think we do that with things in our lives. We get so excited to charge after God, and then we begin to evaluate the life around us. Or maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's like people's opinions, whatever it might be. And we begin to think that this isn't possible. But if we continue to focus on God, we know that it can make a difference. And the thing is that there's so many different people in the Bible who took risks for God, and God showed up every single time. And I love that. Like, I think probably almost everybody we talk about in the Bible took a risk. Like, think of David. He went out to face Goliath with a sling and some rocks. Like, that is gutsy, right? That was a risk because he's like, well, this worked against the lion and the bear, so I'm going to trust that it's going to work on a giant, and God's on my side, so I'm just going to go for it. And what did it do? It worked. Come on. And other people who took a big risk for Jesus was Mary and Joseph. You're like, they're the parents. What do you mean? They risked their entire reputation for Jesus. Right? Because Mary was the virgin, right? The Virgin Mary who carried Jesus. And that was an absolute scandal in those days. Not to mention that Joseph, who still agreed to marry her because he knew that she was carrying the Savior, and they went about their course anyways, no matter the fact that everybody's did not agree with their reputation, right? It tainted their minds of them, even though they were following God. So I want to ask you, are you willing to risk other people's opinions and your reputation for the sake of the gospel? Now, I'm not talking about stepping outside the will of God. I'm not talking about stepping outside of wisdom when people are giving you godly counsel and saying, this isn't wise, don't do this. I'm talking about maybe if your family doesn't believe, or friends, or people in your workplace. When you're stepping out and being obedient to what God has said and who God has called you, and are you willing to risk their opinion of you? I gave this example before where, like, I worked for Panera. I've worked for Panera for 7 years. I was a general manager for 3 of those. It is difficult to be a general manager, let me tell you. And some of the challenges is honestly the behavior of people and holding them accountable to good work behavior, but also, like, doing things that I don't want, like, said or done in my environment. For example, if people were, like, cursing, like, I had somebody who was kind of cursing up a storm, taking the Lord's name in vain, and I just said, hey, please don't do that. That's not appropriate. Like, I don't appreciate that. And they were kind of, like, looking at me, and I was like, look, like, Jesus is really important to me, and I just don't appreciate you taking his name in vain. So I, like, please just honor your language when you're here. But you can do outside of work whatever you want, but while you're within these 4 walls, I don't want you to talk that way. And it was like, and they kind of look at me, you know, like, okay. And I know that they all thought, like, whatever, like, crazy lady Emily, like, here she goes again. But it's like, you know what? I don't care, because I want, like, God to be honored in my business. I want my employees to honor God, regardless if they're a Christian or not. They can honor him with their language or they wear it within my 4 walls, right? Like, we can, and it's worth risking their opinion of me or going being back like, dude, Emily just told me not to cuss. What? She's crazy. Whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, like, we want to make sure that, like, I want to set the example so that they can see, like, this is how we should live. And I'm not talking about, like, being religious and judging people. I'm just talking about, I'm going to live my life in a way that honors God and that brings a godly influence. And I want them to be impacted by that. You know, I'm not perfect. I was not a perfect boss, but I had one young lady come up to me. Actually, I had a couple of them that said this, and this, like, wrecked me, where she was just like, thank you. And she was like leaving, she was getting ready to move. And she's like, because of the way that you treated me, I know how a boss should treat me. And I know that to expect from my other bosses moving forward in my career, that this is how I should be treated because of the way you treated me. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and that is my heart. Like, my managers knew that. Like, that my heart is that they walk away knowing that I care for them. And that, like, that blew me away, because I was like, okay, praise the Lord. Like, something's getting through here. But our lives are meant, but it also, like, meant that there were moments where I said things that, in, like, the people's opinions of me were, like, not, like, Emily's crazy or Emily's this religious chick. Like, I don't really care, because I want to live my life in a way that's honoring to him. And it's hard. Like, don't get me wrong. There are still moments where we all battle that, right? But I want to, like, kind of lead that into a verse that's really important to me. It's Philippians 2:14-16 in the Passion Translation. It says, live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, offering them the words of eternal life. Are we willing to risk our reputation, or maybe the things in our lives that aren't godly, the things of this world, the things that don't, that maybe everyone else thinks is okay, but really is not necessarily okay in the eyes of God? Are we willing to set those things aside for the sake of shining the light for the kingdom? Are we willing to say no to the parties? Are we willing to say no to the bad movies? Are we willing to say no to the cussing or the drink, whatever it might be in your life? Are we willing to say no to the things of this world for the sake of Jesus? And are we willing to risk people's opinions, people's reputation, maybe even stepping outside of our comfort zone where God is calling us to be for the sake of him being made known on this earth? Thing is, we are not responsible for the result. We are responsible for responding to the call. And the thing is, each and every one of us in this room have a different call to respond to. We are not the same. And what my call looks like and what your call looks like is going to be different. And that's so important, because we make up the whole body, right? Without each and every one of you have an impact and can make an impact on somebody that I cannot make. And there is somebody that I can make an impact on somebody that you cannot make. That is why there is each and every one of us. God has created us to represent a specific part of him. And our responsibility is to respond when he calls us to, so that we can do that. And the amazing thing is that the gift of salvation is free, right? Jesus paid the price for our sin completely free of anything else. All we've got to do is say yes to him. But if we want to live our lives in a way that he is honored, that he is glorified, that he is made known, and we continue to push past the limits of what we think we can do and push into what God can do, it costs something. It costs something in our lives. And is it worth it? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. I can't answer that for you. Your yes is your yes. And is it worth it to you? Whatever it might be, however small or however big the step is out of the boat for you, that is okay because that's between you and the Lord. But is it worth it to you to take that step for the sake of representing Christ through you on this earth? And I just want to take a moment this morning and invite you that if you have never done that, if you have never even said yes to God, then today is your opportunity. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, meaning that there is not a specific day you have to wait to get saved. It's today. God's opportunities meet you where you're at every day. He met Peter where he was at, even though I'm sure Jesus would have loved if Peter had the faith to walk all the way to him, and he didn't. That's okay. And that's why Jesus came over and grabbed his hand and pulled him up. I really don't think that Jesus was disappointed in Peter. I think that he was encouraged by the faith that Peter had and said, like, come on, dude, I knew you can do better, but I'm going to pick you up and I'm here for you anyways, right? God's not disappointed in you, but God constantly is calling us to greater. And if that's you, if everyone can just go ahead and close their eyes. And if that's you this morning, and if you're saying, I have never even said yes to God, then I want to give you that opportunity this morning right now. And if that's you, if you could just go ahead and raise your hand, because it said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. So if that's you this morning, I'd love to just have you to have raised your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe this morning you're saying, you know what? I've said yes to God. I gave my life to him, but I haven't given my whole heart. I haven't given my full yes. Then we want to pray with you this morning. So we're just going to, if everyone can pray out loud, we're just all going to pray the prayer together for salvation, because that way nobody feels awkward. We're all going to pray. So if you could just repeat after me, say, Jesus, thank you for coming for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you that you rose again and conquered death. I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me and make me new. My life is yours. Jesus, you're worth it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Yeah, I just want to pray for you too. Come on. God, I just thank you for everybody in this room this morning. God, I thank you that we would respond to the call that you are putting on our lives, whatever that looks like. God, I thank you that you honor our response. God, you honor when we step out of the boat. And I thank you, God, that you are so worth it. And I pray this morning that people would walk out of here remembering how worth it you are to serve in every aspect of their lives, to let every aspect of our lives glorify you. Just thank you in Jesus' name.
Come on. Amen. Give it up for Emily. Wasn't that incredible? So, so good. Come on. He is worth the cost.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.